Welcome again to our series on Know Your Bible. And we have arrived at the first book of Kings. And the first book of Kings is, well, what you might gather is indeed a character study of the kings of Judah and Israel. Let me explain it. At the beginning of this book, we have details concerning the death of David. And from David comes Solomon. Solomon is anointed, and he takes the throne of King David. Now, Solomon has been carefully trained for the throne for 19 years. He ascended at about the age of 19. And he wrote the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Songs. As we read the book of Proverbs, about the first 9 chapters, the book of Proverbs is essentially the training and instruction that both David and Bathsheba gave to Solomon. And the whole theme is wisdom. And they say such things as this: wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, with all thy getting, get wisdom, get understanding, shall be a crown of glory to you. They then contrast wisdom with all the riches of this world. And they said, nothing but nothing compares to wisdom. Rubies, diamonds, gold, silver, nothing compares to the treasures of wisdom. And wisdom is not just the ability to make right choices, but wisdom is, if I could say this, the wholeness of life. It's a certain rightness. You know, your being feels right. It is governed by wisdom. And also, wisdom is spoken of as having 7 pillars. And these 7 pillars of wisdom are given to us in the book of James, chapter 3 and verse 17. And basically, it's first pure. Wisdom is first pure. It's gentle. It's merciful. It's gracious. It's impartial. It's no hypocrisy. It's peaceful. In other words, it's the wholeness of the being of a man of character. Well, Solomon came to the throne. And then God met him when he was going to sacrifice at Gibeon. And there God said to him, Solomon, what would you that I would give to you? Now, Solomon has been trained by David and Bathsheba, and essentially all they have said is get wisdom. So he said, look, I'm young, and look at this huge nation you've given me to govern. He said, oh, give me wisdom, give me wisdom. And that pleased God, because Solomon was asking for the greatest thing of all, wisdom. And so God said, I'll give you wisdom. And with it, I'll give you honor. I'll give you treasures. And then he went on to say, and if you will keep my commandments, then I will bless you with long life. Well, Solomon received that wisdom. And there was none so wise as Solomon before or after. In fact, all the nations of the world came to him to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Amongst them was the Queen of Sheba. And she said, oh, the half hath not yet been told me. Well, Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs. 1,005 songs. And the five songs that we have retained are in this book called the Song of Songs. And essentially, here were the three books that he wrote, Proverbs, Song of Songs, and Ecclesiastes. They all have messages of their own. Proverbs, as we said, is basically devoted to wisdom. Now then, he had come to the throne with a mandate from his father. Here is the pattern of the tabernacle, temple. And Solomon built that temple, began it in his fourth year, finished it in his 11th year. 7 years he was building that temple. And that temple was the most marvelous building that has ever been built throughout the whole period of man upon earth. Nothing has exceeded that temple. And they built it. Then it was dedicated on the Feast of Tabernacles. And the glory of God came into that temple in such a way that the priests could not stand. And there they lay on the floor, slain in the spirit by the glory of God. Now then, all people came to that temple. They worshipped there. For Moses had said, you know, God will appoint a place for worship. And there you are to worship and sacrifice. And so this marvelous temple became the center of worship for the people of Israel. Well, Solomon's reign started very well. But then, you see, like his father, he obeyed in certain areas, but in others he did not. And like his father, he did not obey the principles that are enunciated in Deuteronomy 17 concerning multiplying wives. And he multiplied wives to himself. And in spite of the warnings in the law that those wives would turn the king away from the true worship of God, you know, Solomon did not hearken. And in his old age, what happened? These wives turned him away from the true worship of God. And they encouraged him to build temples to their gods, because he didn't take just Jewish women, but he took pagan women to be his wives. That we're told he had 1,000. But they turned him aside. And so worship was corrupted. And God's anger was against him, because God had appeared unto him twice and given him such great wisdom. Well, he corrupted worship in Israel from the true worship at the temple. And so God said this, I am going to divide the kingdom after your death. And so, at the end of his reign, Solomon espied a young man by the name of Jeroboam. He was of the house of Joseph. And he was very diligent, hardworking, and Solomon promoted him. And then a prophet came, Ahijah, and he came and he spoke to Jeroboam and said, God is going to raise you up and give you 10 tribes to rule over. And he said, if you will walk in the commandments of God, he will add to you the covenant of David. All that God had promised David was going to be given to this young man, Jeroboam. Well, Solomon heard about it and sought to kill him. And he escaped into the land of Egypt. Solomon now dies. You know, in his own words, in Ecclesiastes, an old and foolish king that could not be reckoned with. Oh, how miserable. All is vanity, said Solomon, as though God had made this world without purpose. No, God had made it with purpose, but Solomon had lost the vision because his heart had been turned away by all these wives. So, at the death of Solomon, Israel and Judah came before the new king, the son of Solomon, Rehoboam. And they said, now look, your father laid a very heavy load upon us. If you will lessen the load, we will serve you. And so Rehoboam said, come back in 3 days and I will give you the answer. And Jeroboam, you know, the house of Joseph was leading them. Well, they came back. And Rehoboam, you know, asked counsel of the old men, said, what shall I do? And they said, lessen their load and they'll serve you forever. And he turned to the young men, those of his generation, and said, well, what shall I do? Oh, they said, ha, you know, make it more oppressive. And he listened. And so when they came back, he said, I'm going to make it more oppressive for you. And they said, we have no part in David. They went and made Jeroboam their king. And so you have a divided nation. The kingdom of Judah in the south, the kingdom of Israel in the north, and there you have the two kings, Rehoboam and in the south, and Jeroboam in the north. Neither actually served God in an acceptable form. Rehoboam, you know, did not apply his heart to the reading of the Lord, and therefore his heart was not perfect towards God. And God raised up Pharaoh Shishak of Egypt, and he came and took all the treasures out of the temple. And then Jeroboam, you know, had this wonderful promise that he would have the covenant of David if he would keep the commandments. But what did he do? He built two calves, one in Bethel, one in Dan, one in the south of Israel, one in the north of Israel. And he said, these are thy gods, O Israel, that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Well, he plunged Israel at the beginning of his reign into idolatry and mass immorality, so that all kings afterwards were judged by him, and nearly everyone walked in his ways. Now, in the south, you know, there were kings raised up after Rehoboam died, and I want to talk about some of these kings. One of them was Jehoshaphat. He was the king of Judah and a very righteous man who was concerned with the spiritual life of his people, so that he sent teachers of righteousness throughout his kingdom to teach people the law of God and to cause them to do it. God saw that, and God mightily blessed Jehoshaphat. Yes, he had wars. One war in particular, he had three nations come against him. Edom, Moab, and Ammon, they came against him, a multitude. And Jehoshaphat went out to meet them and put his singers first, worshipping the Lord. And a prophet came out to him and said, ah, the battle's not thine, but God. He said, thou shalt not fight, but God will fight for you. And this multitude, as they came towards Jehoshaphat, they started to fight amongst themselves and destroyed themselves. And then after they killed themselves, Jehoshaphat and his people went out into the valley of Berakah, and they gained all the treasures that these armies had brought with them. And with the result is they went back to Jerusalem worshipping the Lord. Old Jehoshaphat was a good man. He was a great man. But you know, as with the people before, there were flaws in his life that he did not deal with. And one of them, in fact the great one, was that in the north there was a king by the name of Ahab. Ahab was a very wicked man, very wicked man. He had a wife that probably you've heard the name of, Jezebel, and she was the daughter of the king of Sidon, and she was a pagan, idolatrous, evil woman, and that was his wife. He'd gone outside the kingdom, you know, as Solomon had and others, you know, and the result was very evil wife. Well, he saw how Jehoshaphat was mightily blessed, and he made an affinity with Jehoshaphat. And he asked Jehoshaphat to go and fight with him. Go up against Ramoth Gilead. And Jehoshaphat made this statement. You know, I'm flesh of your flesh, bone of your bone. My people is your people. We will go up. You know, what a thing to say. I mean, this is a very wicked man. He said, well, we'd like you. Well, Micah, a prophet of God, was brought before the kings, and he was asked, what does God say? And God spoke very clearly and said, Ahab will go up and he will be killed. You know, and Ahab still determined to go up. He said to Jehoshaphat, you put on the royal robes, I'll clothe myself in disguise. Well, they went up. But the orders of the other king, the enemy king, were to fight only against Ahab. Well, they saw Jehoshaphat in his royal robes, and they thought, well, this is Ahab. But then, when Jehoshaphat saw he was surrounded, he cried out to God. And then the others knew that wasn't Ahab. And one just took a bow and fired it and slew Ahab. Well now, there we are, you see. And in spite of those warnings from God, you know, Jehoshaphat made an affinity with the son of Ahab and then with his brother, with Ahaziah, who succeeded Ahab, and also with Jehoram, who succeeded his brother Ahaziah. Oh, they went out into the wilderness for 7 days, and they began to fight against the king of Edom, and they had no water. And the result was, you know, the king of Israel said, well, God has brought us out here to kill us by thirst. And King Jehoshaphat said, well, isn't there a prophet of God? Someone said, yes, Elisha, who succeeded Elijah. Well, King Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. And the result was, they went to Elisha, and Elisha said, oh, to Jehoram, oh, get you back with, you know, the prophets of your mother, you know, all the wicked ones. He said, I would not give you the word of the Lord, but for the fact Jehoshaphat stands before me. And he said, dig ditches. And he said, in the morning, you will see how God will destroy the enemy. Well, they dug those ditches and God filled it with water. And as the sun's rays came upon it, it looked like it was all blood red. And so the enemy thought that these three kings had fought against one another. And so they said, all to the spoil. But then God gave the victory to Jehoshaphat and the others. But you know, we've said that there is a real problem here. Real problem with Jehoshaphat, those alliances. And the problem is this, that through that alliance with Ahab, then the son of Jehoshaphat married the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Her name was Athaliah. And when Jehoshaphat died, his son, Jehoram, and Athaliah, you see, led the people into great sin and idolatry and ruined the work of Jehoshaphat. You see how important it is to realize that the work that we do here on earth, we want to do it in such a way that after we go to heaven, that work remains. It will remain if we indeed make good alliances with godly men who will succeed us. Well, Jehoshaphat did not. And you know, some other lessons that we have to learn here. And that's coming back to Ahab. Now, you've all heard of Elijah. Well, Elijah actually ministered at the time of Ahab. And because of the wickedness of Ahab, then God said to Elijah, you are to make a declaration that there will be no rain except at thy word. And for 3.5 years, there was no rain in Israel. In Judah, the south, yes, but to Israel, no. Grass was disappearing. The flocks were dying everywhere. And Ahab, instead of repenting, seeks to find out where Elijah is, that he can kill Elijah. Well, after 3.5 years, God speaks to Elijah, go show yourself to Ahab. And Ahab, when he faces Elijah, he said, art thou the one that troubleth Israel? And Elijah comes back and said, no, you're the one that troubleth Israel. And then he takes Ahab up to Mount Carmel. He said, gather all the people and we'll see who is God. All the prophets of Jezebel, you know, all these pagan prophets, you know, were gathered there. And Elijah said, the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. People said, you've well spoken. And so they put the sacrifice there, and all these pagan prophets, you know, prophesied and prophesied and prophesied and cut themselves. And even time, there was no rain. There was no fire, you see, upon that sacrifice. And so Elijah, at the time of the evening sacrifice, he doused the sacrifice with water so that they wouldn't be able to say that he had, you know, produced the fire. And then he prayed, and the fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. Then he gave the order to kill all the false prophets of Baal. Then he went up to Mount Carmel, sent his servant up to the very summit, and he prayed. And after 7 times, the rain came. And he said to Ahab, now there's an abundance of rain. And Elijah ran before the chariots of Ahab back to Jezreel, where, you know, Jezebel was. And the interesting thing is this, you know, after all those manifestations of the power of God, Ahab still did not turn. what happened? Jezebel was furious and sought the life of Elijah. Well, I want to bring this to a close, this book of Kings. There's so much more in it that we could talk about. But I just want to say this. You know, the warning, be careful whom you walk with. Be careful whom you make an alliance with. It could cost you your inheritance. If you make it with the wrong people, right people, your inheritance remains. That's a truth that's very important indeed. So make right alliances. Make right alliances. And then the second thing is Ahab. Ahab was very wicked. But Ahab had seen the mighty manifestations of God. Mighty manifestations of God. I mean, he had the greatest prophet with him, Elijah. And yet, in spite of all those miracles, Ahab still did not turn. You know, the Lord said this. You know, speaking of the parable of the rich man and the poor man, and the poor man's in heaven, Lazarus is in heaven, rich man's in hell, and the rich man cried out, send Lazarus to my brother that they will repent. And Abraham said, even if one comes from the dead, still they will not believe. They have the Bible. And if people do not read and believe the Bible, it doesn't matter how many miracles, they still will walk in their evil ways. May God grant that we love the Word of God and will walk in His ways. Amen.